It's not hard to pronounce, or he'd say he'd hope I'd leave too. So that's why my parents gave me an easy name, Ross. So it'd be easy on you, brother. Good to be here with you this morning, and glad that young people can be in here. I'm sorry too that Cachero's not here. I'm not as good looking as him, but glad that you can stay in with us. I'm glad none of you are screaming like that little boy either. So I was thinking, man, if you got one of these folks get like that, it could be trouble for me too. I'm going to ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 16 for us to start this morning. So really good to be here for Kim and Anna and me to be back with you. It's always a blessing for us to come down here. We hope that we can be somewhat of a blessing to you. We know the Word of God will be a blessing. It's always profitable, and we trust that we'll be able to share it together in accuracy and in a way that will be relevant to our lives, will bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this morning, what we want to look at a little bit in Sunday school is the thought of God's glory. And not only the thought of God's glory, but the desire that Moses had to see God's glory. Glory is one of those words that's somewhat difficult to really get our arms around, to really come up with a specific definition. But men over the years have come up with what I think are some pretty good definitions, pretty short and simple. One definition of glory, in particular as we're thinking about God, one definition of glory is the sum total of attributes. In other words, you take all the characteristics of God and if somehow we could bring them together, that would be in reality the glory of God. It's really the thought of who God really is, the intrinsic essence of God. I want to read a couple of portions here this morning, and we're going to start out, as I said, in Exodus chapter 16. We're going to skip around a little bit here. Verse 2, we read about the nation of Israel. Of course, they're out in the wilderness in this period. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Look down at verse 6. "And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, Eat at even, or in the evening, then yet ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt." And then notice the next phrase, "And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord." Now, if you keep reading a little bit later in the passage, you find out what it was they saw when they saw the glory of the Lord. You know what happened probably that next morning when they came out of their tents, when the dew had evaporated, what was left, it was manna. That was the first morning of 40 years of provision of manna for them to eat every day. So God had said, "You're going to see my glory. You're going to see my glory in the morning." And in the morning, they saw God's miraculous provision for them of food. Look down now in verse 9. Verse 9. "And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." Now, we know from studying about the nation of Israel and their journeys through the wilderness that God, during the day, He would manifest Himself, evidence Himself in this cloud, this column of cloud, and that would be what they would follow, how they would know where to go. God said, "You follow me, I'll lead you." And we read here that Moses told Aaron, "Tell the people that that they need to look toward the wilderness, and they're going to see something, and they're going to see the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud." So they've already seen the glory of the Lord in the miraculous provision of manna in the morning. And then they look out toward the wilderness, and we read that they see the glory of the Lord in this cloud. Okay, one other portion here over in chapter 24. Chapter 24. Look down in verse 16, or verse 15. We'll pick it up at verse 15, Exodus 24 and verse 15. And Moses went up into the mount, it's Mount Sinai, and a cloud covered the mount. Notice verse 16. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. So when they looked up and saw up on the top of the mountain the glory of the Lord, we read here that what it appeared to them as was as devouring fire, a consuming fire. So here's another time that they're seeing the glory of the Lord. Now, Moses was there, of course, all of these times. He saw the manna. He came out of his tent the first morning and looked around and saw the manna covering the ground. God had said, "You'll see my glory in the morning." Moses looked out toward the wilderness with the other people of Israel. He looked out. He saw the cloud. He saw the glory of the Lord in that cloud. And Moses was the closest one to the top of the mountain. When they looked up there and saw the glory of the Lord, and it appeared to them as a consuming fire. Consuming fire. Now over to chapter 33. Chapter 33. The point of those first three passages is to show us that Moses has seen at least these three evidences, these three manifestations, these three appearances of God's glory, of His intrinsic essence, of the sum total of His characteristics, His attributes. Moses had seen the glory of the Lord. Chapter 33, and for sake of time, we'll go to verse 17. And the Lord and Moses are having a conversation. And in verse 17, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Verse 18, we really want to focus on this morning. "And he," that's Moses, "said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." So Moses, speaking to God, says, "God, I beg of you, Lord, I plead with you, please show me your glory." Now we might pause for a minute and say, "Come on, Moses. You've already seen God's glory. You saw the manna. You saw the cloud. Moses, you saw the fire on top of the mountain. Moses, you've already seen the glory of God. What are you asking God to show you His glory? Why are you asking that question? Why are you making that request?" And seemingly from the depths of his heart, he is really wanting that. He wants to see the glory of the Lord. I think Moses, I don't know about the other Israelites, but Moses seemed to have an understanding, a recognition that there was more to the glory of the Lord than only the physical provision of manna. That there was more to the glory of the Lord than the majesty of the cloud out in the wilderness. More to the glory of the Lord even than a consuming, powerful fire on top of the mountain. There was something more to the glory of the Lord, and he wanted to see it. That was the desire, the longing of his heart, to see the glory of the Lord. "Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory." You know, we're sitting here this morning, or I'm standing and you're sitting, and we're all here in this room, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everybody in this room has to some degree seen the glory of the Lord. Even today. Probably most, if not all of us, this morning had something to eat. If not this morning, then surely yesterday you had something to eat. You saw the miraculous provision of God's grace to you in providing for you something to eat. Now, it wasn't out on the ground, probably. Hope you weren't eating off the ground. If you were, I guess maybe that's okay, if that's what you normally do. God didn't provide food out on the ground like manna for you. But you know what? What you ate this morning, what you ate yesterday, though you or your parents or someone else may have worked to earn the money or grew that or caught that or whatever, ultimately that came from God. God provided that for you. And in that, you can and should see the glory of the Lord. You know, since we've been here less than 24 hours, we again have enjoyed the beauty of Spanish Wales and the surrounding scenery. Yesterday afternoon and this morning, I look out over the ocean out back here and see the beautiful clouds. Just amazing. The cumulus clouds, the stratus clouds, the cirrus clouds, all different types of clouds. And they're beautiful. And you know, in those clouds, you can and should see the glory of the Lord. In all of creation. You know, we read in the Psalms that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament His handiwork. So whenever we look around us, whether it be in a large scale of creation or some small little detail of God's creation, in that we should see the glory of God because it's there. His glory. You know, you live in a place where you're susceptible to hurricanes. And some of you have lived through a hurricane, experienced that. Maybe most of you, probably, I'll look at the age, probably most of the people here have experienced that. And in that, you have seen the glory of God in the power and majesty of the wind and the rain. Now, it's fearsome. It's awesome. And when the people of Israel looked up to the top of that mountain and they saw that fire, a consuming fire, I mean, that would just destroy and burn up. When they saw that fire, they saw the glory of the Lord. It was awesome. It brought fear into their hearts, rightfully so, because of the power of Almighty God seen in that fire. And you can see that in a hurricane. You can see that in a tornado. You can see that in the lightning and hear it in the thunder, some of creation, which is just awesome and powerful. And even in a fire, we can see something of the glory of the Lord. And truly that should touch our hearts and encourage our hearts. But you know what I hope this morning? I hope this morning that here in this room, that in our hearts there is at least a little something of what was in Moses' heart. Even though he had seen the miraculous provision of food, even though he had seen the glory cloud, even though he had seen the awesome, fearful fire on top of the mountain, even though he had seen all of those things in his heart, his prayer was, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, I want to see who you really are. I want to see your intrinsic essence, the one you truly are. I want to see that summation of your character and of your attributes. Lord, I want to see that. And I hope that this morning that in your heart there's something of that. I want to see more of who the Lord is. I want to know Him in a deeper way than I've ever known Him before. I want to know more about God. I'm not satisfied only to see the physical. I want to see more than that. I want to see His glory. Well, in chapter 33 of Exodus, down in verse 19, right after in verse 18, Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Look at the Lord's response. And he, the Lord, said, I will make All my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So what does the Lord tell him? He said, okay, I'm going to show you my goodness. He said, I'm going to make my name pass by. I'm going to show you my glory is going to pass by. Those three things seem to be synonymous in this passage. His goodness. Really the property of God, who God is, His goodness, His character, His name. You know, your name represents you. Some of you I know your name, some of you I don't. But if I hear your name, I think about you. I think about what you're like. I think about what I know about you. And that's the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord represents who the Lord is. His goodness, His name, His glory. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord said, you can't see it full on. You couldn't take it. You couldn't bear it, Moses. It'd be too much for you because God is infinite. God is so awesome and majestic that we couldn't handle it. We read in 1 Timothy 6:16 that He only has immortality. He dwells in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen or can see. To Him be honor and power everlasting. Amen. He is awesome. Moses couldn't see it all, but the Lord wanted Moses to see Him. He wanted Moses to see His glory. And He said, Moses, I'm going to enable you. I'm going to put you in this little place here beside the rock, in the rock, this little cave type of opening. I'm going to put you in there, and I'm going to cover you with my hand, and you'll be able to see the back part of my glory, my name, my goodness, as I pass by. God didn't have to do that. God was under no obligation to show Moses anything. He didn't have to do that. But God wanted Moses to see His glory. And you know what? God wants you and me to see His glory. He wants to see His glory. He shows us His glory in so many ways. But you know what? I think it's only to the individual believer who has the heart like Moses that He's going to show this other aspect of His glory in a deeper way than just the physical, in a deeper way than just the material, the things around us, what He does for us and around us. I think it's to that person who really wants to know, who says, Lord, show me your glory. I think that's the person to whom God is going to reveal more of Himself. It's a wonderful thing to be able to see the glory of God. Go over to chapter 34. Because here we have the actual experience of Moses when the Lord did for him what He said He was going to do for him. Look at verse 4. Moses going up on Mount Sinai, and he hewed two tables of stone, like unto the first tablets that he had broken. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. I just pause there for a moment. That I emphasize that little phrase, rose up early in the morning. You know, what does that tell you about Moses? I told you he was excited. He was anxious. He was looking forward to seeing the glory of the Lord. He didn't know exactly what he was going to see. Maybe he was clueless about what he was actually going to see. But he was excited. And you know, he was willing to get up early. I don't know what you're willing to get up early for. you know, some of you get up early anyway. Maybe I should say, what would you stay up late for if you're an early riser? But he really wanted to see God's glory. I can remember years ago when Kim and I had been friends for a little while and gotten to know each other, and we started to think that maybe there was a little bit more there than just friendship, you know. But I wasn't quite, you know, didn't think I was ready for anything serious like a relationship, and so I told her about that, you know, we'll just be friends and et cetera. Well, I didn't know what was happening to me. Guys, they can get you. Be careful, because you don't know what's going to hit you. See, when this girl catches your heart. Now, this actually was the Lord doing this in my heart. I can look back and see that now. But you know what? It was in the wintertime, and wintertime, of course, in North Carolina is not as bad as it is in some places, but worse than it is here as far as ice. And so I was planning to go to Kim's parents' house to see her one night, and it turned out it was an ice storm. But you know what? I really wanted to see her. I really wanted to see her. So I got in my little 66 Volkswagen Beetle. And I cut the heat on, and I cut the defroster on, and I'm going down the road, and it's a little, you know, we got some rolling hills there in Greensboro, and I'm going along, and I can't hardly see. It's night, the ice is coming down so hard, and I'm going up, and I'm concerned, what if a car stop? If I stop on this hill, I'll never get going again. So I'm going up through there, and I've got my window rolled down, and my ice scraper, my left hand's out the window, scraping the ice off, because my defroster won't do it, and I'm driving, and why am I doing all that? Because I want to see her. I want to see her so badly. But I'm willing to risk life and limb, probably other people's too, who are out on the road, that I can see her. And Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And I want to see the glory of God. And I hope you want to see the glory of God. He desires to show you His glory. Continue to read here, but the point of all that was that commitment, that desire, that's got to be there. It's got to be there. Verse 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Remember, the name of the Lord is who the Lord is. Verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. So here's Moses. Now some of you might be thinking, man, that's kind of a big build-up. Kind of a big build-up for what he saw, isn't it? I mean, wasn't he expecting like some fireworks or some amazing type of display of God's power? In a physical way, no, that's not what he saw. It's interesting there. The Lord proclaimed his name, who he is, as he passed by. And what we have here, isn't it a list of attributes of God? That's not a complete list. There is no complete list, by the way, of the attributes of God. Because God is infinite. So there'll never be a complete list of characteristics of the one who is infinite. But we see here come together some of the characteristics of God, some of the attributes of God, and that's what he showed Moses. You see, and that's who God really is, isn't it? It's made up of his character, of his attributes. And you know, my wife, Kim, who she really is her attributes. It's her character. I'm thankful she's beautiful on the outside, but you know, there's got to be more than that. I want to go to 2 Corinthians. You can hold your place here. If we have time, we're going to come back. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because I hope that, you know, as we're looking at these scriptures, that something is starting to burn a little bit in your heart. Maybe it was already burning. But I hope something is starting to burn in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God is prompting you to realize, hey, there's more to God. There's more to the glory of God than I have seen just in the physical around me. I want to know Him more so. I want to see more of His glory. You're ready to pray, Lord, show me Your glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In the 6th verse, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we're getting a clue here, aren't we? How do we see the glory of God? Well, we see where God has shown it. He has shown it in the face of His Son. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He, we read in Colossians 1:15, is the image of the invisible God. Remember, God, no one has seen Him in any time. He dwells in the light which is unapproachable, but God became man, while continuing to be fully God. And we can gaze on Him and see the glory of God. Now, we can't see that physically. You know, of course, we don't walk by sight, do we? We live by faith. And so by faith, in going to the Word of God, we can look at the Lord Jesus and we can see the glory of God in His face. How important that is. You know, God does great things, mighty things in creation. He does mighty things in our lives. But you know what? Behind those mighty things must be the character of God. Character matters. That's true even in human relationships. Some of you are baseball fans, and you remember just a little bit over 2 years ago when Barry Bonds hit home run number 756. Hank Aaron had 755 in his career as a major league player, the most anyone had ever hit. And Barry Bonds, 2 years ago, hit his 756th home run, putting him as number one on the all-time list. And that's probably the greatest record, I would say, or at least looked at in that way, the greatest record in all of sports, probably, the most home runs in a career. That's pretty impressive. 756 times against major league pitchers, you were able to take a bat and hit that ball coming in anywhere from 80 to 100 miles an hour probably and knock it far enough to go over the fence in a major league ballpark. That is impressive. And a lot of people were impressed and are impressed by what Barry Bonds did. But you know what? In the record book, beside his name in the record, there's probably going to be, in most record books, a little asterisk. Why is that little asterisk there? Because there is a question about his character. The question is, was Barry Bonds taking steroids? Was Barry Bonds taking substances that had been banned by Major League Baseball? Had he been taking those? And that's what enabled him to do these great feats. There's a question about that. A question about his character. Put a question mark, put an asterisk there beside his accomplishments. But we look at the Lord Jesus. We look at all that He has done, all that He is doing, and all that He's going to do, and we're promised in the Scripture. And then we look at His character. We look at His perfect character. We got a few minutes here. Let's go back to Exodus. Hope you held your place there. Back to Exodus 34. We just want to very quickly just kind of mention, just to kind of more whet your appetite for your own study, I just want to encourage you there in verses 6 and 7 of Exodus 34, where we have this partial list, very short list, really, of the characteristics of God. And just think for a moment about how we see these things in the face of the Lord Jesus. We don't have much time. We'll just mention them very briefly. But notice there again in verse 6, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful." Merciful. You know what? We go to the Word of God, and we go to the Word of God looking not only for, "God, what do you want me to do today?" Not only for, "God, what promise do you have for me today?" Not only, "God, what can I learn about how I should treat others today?" All those things are important, and everything in the Word of God is profitable. But also, "Lord, I want to see your Son today in the Scripture. I want to look there and see him." When we go there and look, we see that he is merciful. He is compassionate. Compassionate. We read throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about the Lord Jesus looking, and he had compassion on a blind man. He had compassion on a parent who had a child that couldn't get any better. He had compassion on a group of people who didn't have anything to eat, who were wandering spiritually. The Lord Jesus is compassionate, and he's had compassion on you. And he's had compassion on me. And I look at him by faith, and I see the epitome of mercy, of compassion. The Lord passed by and proclaimed his glory. The Lord God, gracious. And we look at the Lord Jesus, oh, and we see his grace. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we see his grace. And you know what? Paul can write to the Corinthians, and we can read it too. And he says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich." We can look at the Lord Jesus and we see grace. We see him giving us what we don't deserve. We see him taking on himself what we did deserve. We have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious. He proclaimed the Lord God, long-suffering. You look in the Scripture and you see the Lord Jesus. You see his patience. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, "In me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." And it doesn't matter if you got saved at a very young age, or if you just got saved last week, or today as an older person, or anywhere in between, the Lord Jesus has been patient with you. He has been long-suffering with me. And we look at him and we see that. We see the character of God, the attributes of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We gaze on him by faith and we see him merciful and gracious and long-suffering. The Lord God, abundant in goodness. The word goodness there means kindness. And we read in the book of Titus that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared. It appeared. It was made visible. We could see it. And now by faith we can look into the Word of God, and that's where we're going to see the glory of God. We look into the Word of God and we see there that the Lord Jesus is that one who is kind. And we've seen that applied in our own lives, haven't we? God has been kind toward us in the Lord Jesus. The Lord God, abundant in truth. The Lord Jesus, who would say, "I am the way, the truth,
and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, the Lord Jesus. We look at Him and we see the glory of God in His face, and we see perfect, absolute, unquestioned truth. And everything that He says is true. And you can count on it. We look and we see His glory. We also see there that the glory of the Lord God involves forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But then that verse closes with a reminder that the glory of God is also righteous and just, and He visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and to the children's children under the third and the fourth generation. And we look on the face of the Lord Jesus by faith, and what do we see? We see the righteous one, the just one. And once we see that, we're reminded that the righteous one took on the unrighteousness of the unjust that He might bring us to God, the Lord Jesus. We look at Him and we see Him forgiving iniquity. We see Him forgiving sin. We see Him forgiving transgression. We look out and we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and we look through the Scripture and we see the reality in our lives. And the glory of God is not something we can put our hands on and touch in that way materially. The depth of the glory of God is His character. I trust that this morning as we close in prayer that you'll pray. Silently, I would encourage you to pray. And if you have any little teeny, little even bit of small inkling of a desire to see more of who God is, and I encourage you to in sincerity pray, Lord, show me Your glory. A very simple prayer. Lord, show me Your glory. And if you're willing, like Moses was, to go before God, and that means getting in His Word and setting aside the time. If you're willing to do that, I can assure you He wants to show you His glory. He wants you to know Him more and more. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, He is more glorious than we can even begin to describe, to comprehend or even imagine. But Father, we thank You for what You have revealed about Him in Your Word. And Father, we thank You that You have seen fit to shine into our hearts. Father, those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, You have shown into our hearts Your glory in the face of Your precious Son, Your Son in whom You are well pleased. And Father, we thank You for reminding us this morning that You want to show us Your glory. Father, show us Your glory. Father, might we be open to seeing more of who You are. Might we be desirous of being in Your Word, be growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank You for Him. We thank You for Your Word. I thank You for these who have gathered this morning. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord bless you.